Well, praise the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, and among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. Jesus, from the town of Nazareth, he grew up in a home there. He ran and played in Nazareth. He knew the streets. He knew the shops and the merchants, and they knew him. He had neighbors. He had relatives. He had friends. He had acquaintances. He had customers. He had fellow church members. And as he grew, there must have been some form of schooling. Jesus of Nazareth. Imagine having Jesus as your neighbor. You know, some did have Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as their neighbor, their earthly neighbor. And for some, he was right next door. They watched him grow. They watched him play. They watched him carry wood into the carpenter's shop. They watched him carry items such as furniture out of the shop. I mean, imagine owning a piece made by those hands. Well, Jesus was growing now. The strength of ministry. And the time came when he came back to his hometown. Mark 6, beginning of verse 1, the Amplified Bible, Jesus went away from there and came to his own country and hometown, Nazareth. And his disciples followed with him. Jesus back in Nazareth. It's always good to be home, to take in the familiar sights and sounds, to breathe that hometown air, to greet those you know, to be with those you love, to spend time with those you grew up with, to talk with the elders and peers and the young. Would Jesus be received in Nazareth? Welcomed back? Welcomed home? With a warm reception? Jesus is back in town. There he is. And the Bible particularly says that he headed to the synagogue. What kind of reception would he receive? Mark 6, verses 1 and 2, reading from the Message paraphrase, he left there and returned to his hometown. His disciples came along. On the Sabbath, he gave a lecture in the meeting place. He stole the show, impressing everyone. We had no idea he was this good, they said. How did he get so wise all of a sudden, get such ability? Verses 3 to 6, but in the next breath, they were cutting him down. He's just a carpenter. Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James, Justice, Jude, and Simon, and his sisters. Who does he think he is? They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling. And they never got any further. Yeah, Jesus told them, a prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives, on the streets he played in as a child. Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. That's all. He couldn't get over their stubbornness. He left and made a circuit of the other villages teaching. Imagine being those that either knew or found out later or in the afterlife that the Son of God lived next door. He should have been a hometown hero. He should have been celebrated. He should have been respected. He should have been followed. He should have been listened to. He should have been honored. What joy there should have been in Nazareth for a hometown boy was heaven's hero. The Voice Bible, Jesus went back to his own hometown where he had grown up, and his disciples followed him there. When the Sabbath came, he went into the synagogue in Nazareth and began to teach, as he had done elsewhere. And many of those who heard him were astonished. Well, it seemed to start out okay. Reading on, those in the synagogue, where did he gain this wisdom? And what are all these stories we've been hearing about? The signs and the healings he's performed? Where did he get that kind of power? Isn't this Jesus, the little boy we used to see in Joseph's carpenter shop? Didn't he grow up to be a carpenter just like his father? Isn't he the son of Mary over there? And the brother of James, Moses, Judas, Simon, and the sisters? Who does he think he is? And when they thought about it that way, when they had thought about it that way, they became indignant and closed themselves to his message. What a line. When they had thought about it that way. You see, they could not see past the human element. Little Jesus, the little boy, the little boy from Nazareth, the little Nazarene. One said to herself, I helped pull slivers from his hands. One said to himself, I sit on a chair that his hands made. Another said, I sleep on a frame. I sup at a table he carved. I drink from a cup. I open and close a door, he planed. All these things coming to mind, farm tools like carts, plows, winnowing forks and yokes, and things, parts of houses, doors, frames, posts, beams, furniture, kitchen utensils. They knew his work. They knew the quality of his product. Oh, they needed the carpenter that day. You know, the synagogue became a type of carpenter shop that day. And in that time, carpenters could not go to a lumber yard and buy smooth pre-cut lumber. They would have had to cut down the trees and use tools to chop, chip, and smooth the wood. They would have used axes, hammers, saws, planes, and chisels. How would the wood respond that day? Seasoned? Workable? Stubborn? Naughty? Would the wooden lives of the Nazarenes become what they could at the hands of Jesus? Would the will of the wooden Nazarenes bow and fall and surrender to his chisel and plane? Such beautiful words. Oh, Jesus, Master Carpenter, who on your cross of wooden nails did work our salvation, wield well your tools in this, your workshop of our lives, that we who come to you rough-hewn may by your hands be fashioned into truer beauty and greater usefulness for the honor of your holy name. Imagine what quality of product could have come out of Nazareth. Out of that Nazareth synagogue, if the wood had faith in the great carpenter. Hometown hero. And in their eyes, hometown zero. Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, God himself, the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb, the hope of all hearts, and the hope of every Nazarene. Familiarity breeds contempt. Guess it was more a synagogue that day than a synagogue. You know, it's hard to believe they became indignant and closed themselves off to his message. The Wycliffe Bible, they were offended in him. The NLV, the people were ashamed of him and turned away from him. The NLT, they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. In the New Century Version, the people were upset with Jesus. You know, we judge from this side that these be foolish people. And yet I wonder how we would have responded when the little boy, now a man, came back to his hometown. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 13, verse 55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joses, and Simon, and Judas? The voice he came to Nazareth, the town where he had grown up. He taught at the local synagogue, and the people were astonished. People. Is this our little Jesus? Is this Mary's son? Is this the carpenter's son? Is this Jesus, brother of James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Didn't we just see his sisters yesterday at the market? Where did he learn all this? Whence his power? The message, when Jesus finished telling these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown, and gave a lecture in the meeting house. Yeah, we've read it. He stole the show, impressing everyone. We had no idea he was this good. They said, how did he get so wise, get such ability? But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. We've known him since he was a kid. He's the carpenter's son. We know his mom, Mary. We know his brothers. All his sisters live here. Who does he think he is? They got all bent out of shape. You know, they could not see past the little Jesus, the infant, the toddler, the youth. And yet, did not shepherds and wise men marvel and worship and present gifts before the infant Jesus? Did not Simeon, a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, upon whom was the Holy Ghost, take the Christ child up in his arms and bless God, saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Oh, it was true. Even in that hometown, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Didn't the scholars marvel at the 12-year-old's understanding and answers? Jesus rejected at Nazareth. You know, Jesus was their hometown hero. They'd never have a greater one. No one would ever come close in comparison to this one that came out of Nazareth. You know, the truth is, Jesus is every hometown's hero. And one would say, how so? Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, God himself, the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb, the hope of all hearts, and the hope of every Edmontonian. This town, our city, you say, it was never the hometown of Jesus. In the pointed sense, correct. However, think on this. Some know and some will find out later or in the afterlife the truth of the gift God had given them in having neighbors that were Jesus people. Jesus on the inside, Christ within, the hope of glory, God in flesh among us. And there have been gospel preachers that have grown up in a town and just like Jesus, they have been rejected in their hometown. Prophets rejected. And what of those that watched a little Jesus child play, be it in the playground or in the streets, and saw the witness and heard with their own ears the pure confession from one of these little ones? A child shall lead them. What about the shop owners and the merchants that were familiar with one from a young age who grew in holy stature and delivered to them the message of hope? What of relatives, friends, acquaintances? What of customers? What of fellow church members? What of teachers schooling little Jesuses? They should have received the lesson. They should receive the lesson. The Gospel of Luke, Luke 4, verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? The voice, at first, everyone was deeply impressed with the gracious words that poured from Jesus' lips. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed that he could say these things. Everyone, wait. This is only the son of Joseph, right? The message, all who were there watching and listening were surprised at how well he spoke. But they also said, isn't this Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was just a kid? I share these words today. The two views of Christ's person, the view of prejudice and the view of piety. Prejudice could not dispute the fact of Christ's wisdom and mighty works, so it sought to disparage him by saying, after all, he's only a carpenter's son, just the son of an ordinary artisan. Shall a prophet rise up from among the chips in the carpenter's shop? Shall we sit at the feet of the man who is simply a toiler at the carpenter's bench? Prejudice may seem very wise in its own esteem, but it is really very foolish. To be prejudiced against the truth because of the lowly origin of him who proclaims it is most manifest folly. Is a pearl to be rejected because it was found in a shell that is in itself of no value? Would not a wise man pick up a diamond from a dunghill if he saw one flashing there? Even if the occupation of a carpenter had been a degrading one, which it certainly was not, yet if his son has something to say that is worth hearing, is he not a fool who will not listen to it because it is uttered by the carpenter's son? If from the lips of Jesus of Nazareth a stream of divine wisdom was poured forth, is it not most egregious folly to refuse to receive it because he was reputed to be the son of Joseph, the carpenter? If he speaks as no other man ever spoke, if his doctrine is more sublime than that of any other teacher, if the morality which he inculcates is more pure and more heavenly than that of any other leader of men, what matters it that he is the carpenter's son? Piety is grateful to Christ for being the carpenter's son because she recollects that he is the type of the kingdom which he governs. When the carnal eye looks at Christ, it sees only a carpenter. But the spiritual eye can see the king in his beauty in the garb of a working man. He who saws the wood and guides the plane and drives the nails is the great creator, without whom was not anything made that was made. What was true of Christ is in a measure true of his church and of his gospel too. Was that it? They just thought he was a mortal man, a boy, the son of an earthly carpenter. You know, even at that, and we know he was more, would they not receive his message of truth? I mean, what had they gone to the synagogue to hear, to receive? Ah, many have tragically become indignant and closed to the message because they can't get past the human element. Unbelief. That's what Jesus encountered in Nazareth. Unbelief. Mark 6:6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. The Amplified Classic, and he marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. The Amplified, he wondered at their unbelief. The New Century Version, he was amazed at how many people had no faith. As one wise said, let us beware of unbelief, lest it should tie the hands of Christ as it did there in his own country. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Oh, come and see. You know, it was a short time later that the carpenter from Nazareth was given the handiwork of an inferior carpenter. A work rough and rugged, a tree cut down and fashioned into a cross. A cross to hang the carpenter from Nazareth on. Nails in his hands that the cutting down, the chiseling, the planing stop. Nails in his feet that he might no longer walk and gather. For there were trees that were of the righteous order, and these had chosen their carpenter in their surrender to Jesus. But there he hang, the carpenter from Nazareth, on a symbol of capital punishment. Capital punishment. Yeah, he died for his capital that day. Took the punishment for Nazareth and for every Nazarene that rejected him and for every member of that synagogue that couldn't get past his human element. Let's have the worship team return today. Do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered your life? Do you know the great carpenter? One old writer says Christ was a carpenter, and a rare carpenter too. For he made a ladder that reaches all the way from earth to heaven, and up that ladder souls are continually ascending to the palace which he has gone to prepare for them. That is a quaint way of describing how Christ has bridged the gulf between guilty sinners and their offended God by his atoning sacrifice. Happy are they who not only admire the ladder, but who trust themselves upon it, and so are brought safely home to God in glory. Let today be the day you surrender all. Surrender your rough-hewn life to the hands of the carpenter from Nazareth. And church, may the carpenter always be the hero in this house. May he always be at work, and may his chisel and plane continue to move until the final day. Jesus, the carpenter, is our hometown hero. A word for the young in the house today. For those that, you know, have grown up in it all. You've grown up with Jesus from a young age. Don't let familiarity have its way. So too, believers that have, you know, known him for some time now. He is the Christ. He is the hero. Without Christ, as our hero, the carpenter from Nazareth, the passing grade will be zero. as we pass from this world into eternal ages. And no, we don't take Jesus and work on him. Chisel and plane a wooden fabrication. We be the wood. And so be it. Hometown hero. Let's believe. Let's have faith. Let faith arise. Believe in Jesus, who he is. Celebrate him. Honor him. Let him live in you. That the world might know him. We love you, Lord. You stand in the house today.